as we continue our Lenten journey, we continue to see the ways in which Christ is the light of the world who comes crashing into the midst of our darkness. In our readings today, we will think about how this light can disrupt our lives, how this light can seem foreign and strange, perhaps even a little uncomfortable. The light of God that shines from outside ourselves oftentimes illuminates things that we had never seen before, highlights possibilities and perspectives that are foreign to us. This is what I think we see in both Abraham's story and in Nicodemus' story. That Abraham has the light of God come crashing into him, telling him to do something completely out of the blue. Leave your country and your kindred, your family behind, and go into a new place. God doesn't even say what this place is. It's just a place I will show you. Trust that I will show you it. And Abraham at 75 years old is amazingly says, okay. For me, I probably have a few extra questions. I would like to know a little bit of logistics here for just journeying into this new land. This is how the light of God comes to Abraham. It disrupts his life, invites him to do something completely different, completely new. Nicodemus as well today is being invited into some uncharted territory. But his, of course, isn't a physical invitation. His is a mental one. He is being invited to understand things differently than he already does. He questions Jesus about what it means to be born again, about what it looks like to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He asks, how can these things be? What you're telling me, Jesus, is not computing. I know you're a teacher sent from God. I've seen the signs that you do. I know that what you're saying I should listen to and follow, but it does not compute. The light you are shining in this world and in my mind is foreign, strange, uncomfortable to me. And of course, this isn't a knock against Nicodemus at all. This is our own experience so often when we encounter God's invitation to things that feel beyond us. And God still invites us into foreign places that seem strange and disorienting. Sometimes that's in physical ways, like Abraham, as God calls us into new ministries, calls us to walk alongside others in this world that we may not have foreseen or have thought about walking alongside. And other times, it's our own perspectives, like in Nicodemus' story, there are things we have to abandon in our thought processes because we have grown accustomed to seeing stuff only through the darkness and not through the light of God. That Jesus is clear, if we are to see heavenly things and understand them, we are going to have to leave behind thoughts that we have had before. We're going to have to leave behind notions that we had about how the world works and about how things truly are. And we're going to have to heed what Christ tells us. We are going to have to follow this light. No matter how challenging, uncomfortable, disruptive, and disorienting it may be. Which, of course, are all reasons we typically don't want to do this. We humans don't like to do things that feel difficult, that challenge us, that don't make sense to us. All of those things are usually on the list of, yeah, I'm not doing that. And yet here, we are invited to recognize, no, when it is Christ who beckons, when it is Christ who calls, we are to follow this light. And our readings tell us why this is the case, because this light is really, really, really good for us. This light is what brings about healing and reconciliation with God and life and salvation. This light is what we truly need. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's disorienting, this light is where we will find safety, security, life everlasting. This light perhaps is a little bit like a lighthouse that we in our storm-tossed world and our boats need a place to set our attention and our focus, and God's light comes crashing in and says, come harbor here with me. Come, point your bow in this direction and you will know life. And so this is where we are invited to set our course. This is what Abraham was invited to do when he heard the light of God being shared with him as God promised blessing to Abraham. If you come into this new land in which I am inviting you to go, Abraham, you will know that you are blessed. And not just you, but all of the world, all of the nations will be blessed through you as well. And this is how God's light works. It offers life, salvation, restoration, and wholeness, and not just for those who draw near to it, but it overflows into the world and offers these gifts to all. This is what Paul is getting at in our second reading today, as he is talking about this faith we are called to have in the grace of God. That God would choose to justify us, that is, make us right before God, that is, forgive us of our sins, redeem and restore us, and draw us into God's light. And that we are to trust and believe that this is who God is and what God is doing. As foreign of a concept as that may be to us, as uncomfortable as it may be to think that we need God's grace or that God would choose to share such grace with us, we are to believe and trust that this is who God is. And that God shares that level of grace, that level of life, healing, and redemption with us even while we were sinners. Even while we were still in darkness, God's light drew near to us. Because God wants us to know the life this light reveals. God wants us to follow this light. And so if we were going to continue our little lighthouse metaphor, we would see that God is putting up new lighthouses for us. That if we get off kilter, we turned our boat around so that we can't see the original lighthouse, God will put up a new one. Because God wants us to experience God's light and salvation. If we thought, ooh, no, that one seems foreign and strange and I don't like that lighthouse and we turn away, I am convinced God puts up another one. God still shines God's light into our lives because God wants to draw near to us in our darkness while we still can't see as we should. When the light still hurts our eyes and it feels challenging and uncomfortable, God still wants to be near to us. This is what it means. While we were sinners and while we were in darkness, the light of God was made known to us through the grace of Jesus Christ that offers us redemption, reconciliation, the forgiveness of our sins, the restoration of life eternal with God. That God would draw us out of darkness and into light. Indeed, this is what we continue to experience today in this meal that we share. The light of God continues to shine in Christ, who draws near to us in ways that we do not understand through this bread and wine and body and blood. And continues to share with us the good news that God's light offers us life. Continues to share with us the good news that God would redeem and restore sinners and those in darkness. And here we are invited to trust all the more in this gift of grace that overflows for us with blessing. And we who have been so blessed to experience the light of Christ are sent forth to be a blessing for this world, to help others struggling in darkness to see the light of God's love shining through, beckoning them back to safe harbors, beckoning them back to the life God longs for them to have. In which case, we may just discover that we are the extra lighthouses put out into this world as people turn all about in their ships. Maybe through our lives, as we bear witness to God's light and love, we can help others draw near to see their need for this light too and say, ah, yes, we will come back to God. We'll turn into that safe harbor where we know the truth of God's loving presence. And for this gift of God's light that shines forth in our lives and in this world, for this gift that God longs to for us to know in the sending of Christ, that tells us how much God loved this world, that God did not want to destroy this world, but to save it through Christ. Not to condemn the darkness, but to draw us out of darkness and into light. For this most wonderful news, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.